Does the U.S. not care about an enslaved population? Do we not care suddenly about forced labor, slave labor, that happens to be making the green panels that the U.S. wants and needs and is buying right now for the green energy alternative? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish, and I just want to know, why can't we get these panels like somewhere else, right? Do we really need to be feeding Chinese coffers that are enslaving the Uyghur population? I mean, how else are we supposed to interpret right now this exchange here? Watch it, listen to it. This is unbelievable, this exchange between Congressman McCaul from Texas and our climate czar.
Because when you look at the supply chain, you look at China, they dominate the critical mineral supply and solar supply chains, all coming out of the Xinjiang province, which we believe is using slave labor to create these renewable energy sources. So my question to you is, how can you assure us or ensure that this quest that we're on, that slave labor coming out of China, where genocide is taking place as we speak, are never a part of the climate solution in the United States?
You're absolutely correct, Ranking Member McCaul. It is a problem. Xinjiang province not only produces some of the solar panels that we believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs, but also there are a significant amount of rare earth mineral that's used in the solar panels themselves.
Whoa. So he's admitting it. You get it? Okay. We are getting our solar panels from China, and China is using slave labor, the Uyghur population, to produce all this. How is that okay? I mean, how is it ever okay, ever? I mean, is climate that important? Somehow climate policy is more important than human lives? I'm sorry, but we need to find another way, okay? We need to find a way to get these materials from somewhere else. We should not be getting them from the likes of China that's using slave labor. Right? I mean, this is obvious stuff, but you know what? Perhaps John Kerry and some that are so focused on climate, they're only thinking about their own thing, right? John Kerry, the climate czar, what, is he okay with this? I mean, how would you ever accept one single panel from China knowing that they're using forced labor unless you care that much just about climate, right? I mean, listen, I think it's a selfish thing. I think it's a selfish thing, and it's very, very in line with many of these politicians, right? They care about their own little sphere of the universe, and they're focused only on that. And don't forget, I mean, this is the man that had to fly to Iceland, right, for his big, big climate award, despite the fact that he was actually polluting the environment in a pretty serious way and very easily could have done a Zoom call for that award. But no. He has to travel private, remember?
It's the only choice for somebody like me. The time it takes me to get somewhere, I can't sail across the ocean. I have to fly to meet with people and get things done. But what I'm doing almost full time is working to win the battle of climate change.
It's the only choice for people like me. People like me, people like you, you all can just, you know, phone it in. But people like me, well, I have to fly private, okay? Let's watch it again, because this is just too good. This is John Kerry at the height of selfishness. Watch.
It's the only choice for somebody like me. The time it takes me to get somewhere, I can't sail across the ocean. I have to fly to meet with people and get things done. But what I'm doing almost full time is working to win the battle of climate change.
I'm sorry, I find this like just disgusting. Okay, I'm sick of it. We get these failures there. They've failed our country. They've failed everyone in what they're doing there. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know what? You talk the talk, walk the walk. You keep telling us about climate change and how important it is and how we need to, you know, conserve energy, and yet you're the one on the private plane. It's so important that we have a just society, and yet we're using materials made from slave labor? I mean, how is that right? Let's actually stand up for what we believe in here. okay? Or don't keep telling us that you believe in it. I mean, think about Anthony Fauci, right? He's another one, just in his own little sphere. He's got his own little thing that he cares about and fails to take everything else into consideration. All he worried about was making sure that we didn't infect anybody with coronavirus, but he didn't care about the effect on people's businesses that they had worked their whole lives to create. He didn't care about the effect on jobs. He didn't care about the psychological effect of being stuck in your home for months on end and being terrified. No, he only cared about his one sphere. Didn't consult the psychologist or the economist. And John Kerry, he cares, well, clearly about flying private when he needs to, and he cares about getting those climate pan. I mean, he admitted this is slave labor that's making it. So I'm sorry. Why are we importing it? You know, it's a big world out there and everything has consequences. There's a lot of domino effects. We need to be mindful of them. Coming up, everyone, a growing number of lawmakers are demanding that Joe Biden end his negotiation with Iran as a result of Iran's support for Hamas. But will he? Kind of seems unlikely, given where this administration falls on Iran. Don't forget the Obama team was the one, John Kerry actually, who negotiated that original Iran deal. I'm on it next. The Biden administration is facing new pressure today from GOP lawmakers to immediately end its negotiations with Iran in the wake of the continued missile attacks on Israel by Hamas, which happens to be funded by none other than Iran. Today, we have more than 40 Republican senators led by Marco Rubio out of Florida petitioning the White House, petitioning to immediately end negotiations with Iran and make clear that sanctions relief will not be provided. This is according to a copy of that letter that was exclusively obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. It is about time someone speak up to this. The United States, they write, must not do anything to enrich Israel's enemies, such as by offering sanctions relief to a regime that seeks to destroy Israel. 44 of them, 44 senators are saying that the Biden administration should abandon its diplomacy with Iran in order to send a message that terrorism will not be tolerated by America. You know, it seems to me we ought to be sending a whole lot of messages. One, terrorism will not be tolerated. Two, slavery of the Uyghur population will not be tolerated in China. Imagine that. Imagine actually standing up for some beliefs. Well, why would Biden send that message? I mean, consider who we're talking about. This administration is a holdover from the Obama administration, a holdover from an administration that actually negotiated the entire Iran deal. They were negotiating this as Iran held our sailors hostage. Remember that? Remember those pictures that we saw all over the world, video of our sailors, our military personnel on their knees, hands behind their back while we negotiated the Iran deal and the Obama team still did the deal? I mean, how is that ever okay? Why are we working with a country that hates us, that shouts death to America? Why are we shunning our longtime friend, our ally, Israel, that is so important to us? Israel has now been hit with more than 1,000 missiles during the past 2 days, all of them fired by Hamas, the Iranian-backed terror group Hamas, as well as the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Now, leaders of both of these organizations, both of these terror groups, they're bragging that Iran is behind it. Iran is giving them the money. Iran is arming them with weapons significantly more sophisticated than the crude rockets that they would typically shoot into Israel. Why is this happening now, right? I wonder. Is it the change in administration? They know that there's no Donald Trump that's going to go after him for this. You have senators asking some questions now, as I said, requesting the suspension of Iran negotiations, and it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. I want to point out that they also noted in their letter, here we go, that Iran is a longtime financial and material supporter of Hamas, correct? The United States engaging in active negotiations with Iran and potentially providing billions of dollars in sanctions relief will no doubt contribute to Iran's support of Hamas and other terrorist organizations who attack Americans and our allies. You know what? They are right. I'm sorry. We have a government that is engaged in talks with Iran while Iranians are funding Hamas, which is attacking our longtime ally. This shouldn't be so hard. This is not complicated stuff. We have our friends. We have our allies. And we have those that don't like our friends and allies so much. Aren't we supposed to stick with our allies? Meanwhile, there is a report I got to tell you about that major sanctions relief is now on the table for Iran. Makes sense. The Iranians were hoping this. This is why they did not want Donald Trump to be reelected. The sides are apparently still, you know, working it out, working out the details and just exactly what the scope and scale of the relief would be, which is likely to include rolling back sanctions on Iranian banks, the oil trade, other key sectors. So this would be a big, big, big win for Iran, a big financial win for Iran. The leaders there in Iran, they would benefit. And yet these are the same people that have publicly celebrated the terror attacks on Israel. You had the supreme leader writing in a Twitter post. Interesting, he can tweet. Donald Trump can't, but the supreme leader of Iran can. In that post, he wrote that Hamas and PIJ should use the tools of their disposal. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif, who is leading the negotiations for Tehran, also expressed some support for the terror strikes on Israel. I mean, shouldn't this be sort of a non-starter? Like, you're on the wrong side of this, period? This is messed up. It really is. And Joe Biden and the U.S. should think long and hard about the countries we want to be supporting right now and the countries to whom we will give sanction relief. Coming up, a new read on inflation. Woo! I don't know how the Fed is going to ignore this one. Thanks a lot, Joe. Price is up 6.2%, and it is getting so much worse. I have the details next. Inflation, 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 inflation. Get used to that word. We're going to have to keep talking about it over and over again because we're looking at some big-time inflation. I told you about it yesterday with consumer prices. Now we're looking at producer prices like we haven't seen in years. In fact, they have actually haven't ever seen anything like this as long as they've been tracking it. U.S. producer prices surging for the month of April at twice the rate economists had actually forecasted. This is according to newly released numbers by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. How do you like this? The producer price index. This is what producers are paying, you know, for raw materials and goods. Jumped 0.6% in April. If you look at it over a 12-month period, that's 6.2% for the last year. 6.2% of an increase. Largest advance since they ever started watching this stuff. We got some problems. I mean, this inflation is increasingly evident now. I've been pointing to it for months. I said this would come. You cannot have a situation where the Federal Reserve is printing so much money as they are, leaving rates at record lows, while simultaneously the federal government is in there shoving all this cash at everyone. That is a recipe for inflation. The producer price index, again, looking at this, which is the final prices for demand for goods and services, again, rising 6.2%. I'm just stunned by these numbers, and it's clear to me that they don't know what they're doing. And the Federal Reserve doesn't know what they're doing, or maybe they know and they don't care. Janet Yellen keeps telling us, Treasury Secretary, former head of the Federal Reserve, that we have tools for this, right? We can fix it. No big deal. It'll be fine. Well, those tools involve raising rates. Okay, so when you talk about using those tools, that's the kind of thing that scares Wall Street a lot. We have a very fragile market right now. We have a market that has benefited from asset inflation. We have a market that, if you ask me, is kind of a little out of control. I mean, we're trading at historically high levels, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And there's this total optimism out there. But I'm telling you, if this does not go perfect, you're going to have what's called a bubble getting pricked, and it's not going to be pretty. So Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary under Clinton, the former head of the National Economic Council under Barack Obama, he's been warning about this. It's like he's the only honest one in the room. He's been saying, look, you run the risk of mass inflation. And then, of course, you run the risk that the Fed has to do something. And so they up interest rates and everything comes to a crashing halt. My words, not his. But effectively, he has warned that this might be a real disaster. And he's right. And so we need some smarter people in there. I don't know if Jerome Powell feels a little bullied. I mean, he's now got the former head, his friend Janet Yellen of the Fed there, who's now the head of Treasury, and he kind of wants to make her happy. But listen, he needs to guard against inflation because once that starts to take off, there's very little you can do to control it, as many emerging market countries have learned, right? Think Argentina, think Brazil, think Venezuela. You cannot print your way to prosperity. I wish some of these politicians would learn that. But apparently, none of them can do math. We're going to talk about that because you won't believe the things that are coming out of Pete Buttigieg's mouth. By the way, if you haven't, make sure you go to my private Facebook group. You can correspond with me there directly, the private group. Go ahead and subscribe. Make sure you're downloading this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to this channel, and I'll be back with more. Ah, the Biden team. They don't know how to add. I'm convinced of it. Or they add in such a way that it is kind of like special math, right? They do their own little special math. I get it. I know these politicians. Many of them are not so bright. And I know that they just want to say whatever they want to serve their cause. But really, I mean, do they think we're that dumb? They must think we're really, really dumb. I want you to see Pete Buttigieg, who obviously thinks we're dumb. I mean, remember the other day, he's out there biking to work. But the truth is, he actually took his SUV right up to, you know, a couple blocks away, hopped on the bike, and then said, let me have my photo app up. This is Pete Buttigieg trying to spin a corporate, individual, and cap gains tax hike as a job plan that's already paid for. Here he is on CNN.
As you know, Republicans are setting, they're calling it a red line in terms of raising the corporate tax rate to pay for Biden's infrastructure plan. I wonder, is the Biden administration open to other ways to pay for this, including, for instance, a rise in the gasoline tax? In other words, is that a red line for President Biden, raising the corporate tax rate?
Yeah, the president is not going to support a plan that raises taxes on ordinary Americans.
Okay, we got to stop him there. I mean, he's sounding like Biden, right? Remember when Biden said, your taxes aren't going to go up? No, no, no. Nobody's taxes are going up unless you earn more than $400,000. Turns out a lot of families have two earners. Oh, imagine that. You know, women, some of them actually work. And so you get two earners. And so a lot of families are going to get dinged with that tax hike. Anyway, Buttigieg in this case saying, oh, no, your taxes aren't going to go up unless they deserve to go up, unless we have deemed you too wealthy. The reality is every single person's taxes are going to go up in some way, shape, or form. This is going to hurt every single American. You can't just do this in a vacuum, right? If you raise corporate taxes, well, guess what? That means those corporations are less profitable. Therefore, well, their stock prices will tend to go down. And given that so many people are invested in the stock market, including teachers and firefighters and police officers, who maybe they want to hurt, you know, given their reputation with the police. Anyway, you look at that combo, and all of those people are going to get hurt in their investments, right? Their retirement holdings, because that's where the money is. Meanwhile, corporations, you know what? If they're having to pay taxes that are higher, they're going to push those taxes onto consumers. And then you get the inflation scenario that we've already talked about. You also have the reality that they will not invest as much. They will not hire as much. And hey, maybe they'll even look to go someplace like Ireland that charges 12.5% tax. And then you have companies moving offshore. So no, Pete Buttigieg, it doesn't work when you just say we're going to raise corporate taxes. And for that matter, cap gains taxes, you're going to double that. Money's going to come out of the market. Listen, this is a complete recipe for disaster, for fewer jobs in this economy. But apparently, he's just drunk so much socialist Kool-Aid, he just can't get it. Listen.
Especially when you don't have to in order to fund his vision. The American Jobs Plan is fully paid for, and the president has proposed to fully pay for it just by asking corporations to pay their fair share.
Fully paid for. You hear that? Oh, corporations just need to pay their fair share and everything will work out perfectly. If only it worked so nicely, Pete. Pete, let's wake up to the real world, okay? The real world, a world in which corporations have alternatives. They have alternatives. They can move to other countries. They can pass the cost on to consumers. They can just simply eat it, right? In which case, then they have lesser profitability and you affect the stock market. All of this has effects. And by the way, don't tell me that this is already paid for. I mean, that's the best line of the year. It's already paid for. Don't worry about it. Nothing's paid for. Nothing's paid for because you know what? We have $28 trillion in debt right now. And there's no plan to solve it, only to add to it. And we're adding to it at a rate that is making us look frankly, more and more like a banana republic with a debt to GDP ratio that's going to make Greece look good, okay? Or Venezuela look good. This is a problem because great societies do not fail because of anything other than usually running out of money. And this is where we're heading. We're heading to the breaking point where we will run out of money. And this is why when I look at Republicans right now, like Liz Cheney or Mitt Romney, they can't really get on board with this program. Liz Cheney out there saying she's just going to do everything she can to stop Trump. Listen, it's really important if you care about capitalism, if you care about freedom, if you care about the preservation of the United States of America, that you think about the policy first. Stop with the Trump stuff, okay? Stop. I mean, social media has done their part to shut them down, which is very North Korean-like, but nonetheless, that's what they're doing. Liz Cheney, forget about it. She needs to actually, if she cares about this country, be on board and focus on the policies that are going to help America going forward. And I'll take any politician that's willing to give me capitalism over socialism, that's willing to preserve our freedoms, as opposed to what this crew is trying to do right now. So join me. Join me online on my private group on Facebook. Join me at trishintel.com, where I hope you're getting all your news. And make sure you join me again back here tomorrow. We have a whole lot of work to do, a country to save.